You are Locked On Rams, your daily Los Angeles Rams podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rams Nation, what is going on? It is your boy, your host, Sosa Cremenjas. I'm a fantasy analyst at Pro Football Focus and your host of the Locked On Rams podcast, your number one daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Rams. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Welcome back to our regularly scheduled programming. This is your first episode, or technically your second episode of the week. We're finally back to our Monday through Friday schedule. I released an extra episode yesterday on Sunday, maybe even Saturday evening. I guess you could consider it that. But obviously, you know, the 2021 NFL draft has concluded and we have so much to talk about. Honestly, the next 2 weeks are going to be very important. I feel like going throughout the rest of the offseason, we're going to talk about everyone that the Rams drafted, everyone that the Rams did bring in as undrafted free agents. We have that list right now. They brought in a total of 9 players so far that I've found on Twitter and throughout various sources and things like that. And we are going to break down the games of 2 more players that the Rams did draft: defensive tackle Bobby Brown III and cornerback Robert Rochelle. I finally got a chance to watch both of these guys as well, like we did yesterday with Tutu Atwell, as well as Ernest Jones, the linebacker. I want to get through every single player over the course of the next week or so. We can actually get a good idea for who these players are, what they do well, what they might be asked to do with the Rams, and how they project going into the NFL. So I first want to begin by starting with the undrafted free agent class so far. And like I said, I found 9 names thus far. Could be a little bit more by the time you listen to this. Could be more by the time I'm even recording this. I'm not sure. The situation is obviously fluid. They're going to add a couple more players. Rosters can get up to 90 people prior to the season, prior to the preseason and all that in training camp. So I'm pretty certain that the Rams are not all that close to 90 players right now, but they are likely going to add some more. To begin, they added wide receiver Landon Akers from Iowa State, tackle Alaric Jackson from Iowa, safety Paris Ford from Pittsburgh, another safety Jovan Grant from Merrimack College, wide receiver Jeremiah Hadel from Texas State, offensive lineman Jordan Meredith from Western Kentucky, outside linebacker Max Roberts from Boston College, defensive tackle George Silvanic from Air Force, and safety Troy Warner from BYU. And I want to highlight a couple of these guys that caught my eye in specific. And the first one is the last name that I just mentioned, Warner, who is from BYU. Ironically enough, his brother is Fred Warner, the current linebacker for the San Francisco 49ers, one of the best linebackers in football, also went to BYU, so there is that fun brother connection there, and is obviously an interesting dynamic in the NFC West. Some of the other interesting names that caught my eye from this list as well, the other one, Jeremiah Hadel, another wide receiver here. He is not obviously a tremendous wide receiver prospect if you're not getting drafted, but he has a lot of kick return and punt return experience. Over 4 years at Texas State, he had 54 kick returns for 1,191 yards and 1 touchdown for an average of 22.1 yards per kick return, and actually also had 16 punt returns for 208 yards this past season, as well as 1 punt return touchdown. So probably not going to really ever get a chance to play receiver with the Rams, at least not for the time being with how stacked that position is for the team. But it is interesting to note, obviously, they did a lot of special teams work on day 3 in the draft, specifically in round 7, adding a lot of guys that are going to bring presences to that side of the field, that side of the ball. And Hadel could be a guy to look out for in that undrafted free agent class, because he's going to be one of the players that does come into this team and the roster with a legitimate role. He's going to arguably be the best returner on the team from day 1, and that might give him an actual shot to make the 53-man roster. It's not likely, obviously, with how many wide receivers the Rams do have, but if they do want to keep 6 on the roster and keep Hadel specifically for return purposes, then that very well may happen. The next name that caught my eye, and I think this is probably one of the more popular ones, is Paris Ford, the safety of Pittsburgh, and he actually plays a decent game. I mean, when you look at his draft profile from the PFF draft guide, graded decently, 68.1 this past season, 72.6 the year before, 63.6 grade the year before, had 450 snaps this past season nearly, 758 the year before. So clearly a guy that has had some experience. You know, he grades out relatively well, and the bottom line here listed is Ford plays the game the way you wish every player would. That's what you want at safety. Now, he was given a projection of 7th round or UDFA, and I think a lot of that has to do with his testing because his testing numbers were absolutely brutal. I mean, the guy ran a 4.940, and I haven't watched him personally, but apparently he does not play at that speed, and I mean, he can't because there is not a safety in the NFL that runs that speed. If you run a 4.9, you're going to either be a defensive lineman, an offensive lineman, a specialist, or you're not playing in the NFL. There is just no guys in the secondary that can possibly run that slow. You're not going to make an NFL roster. Now, he has a lot of experience playing in different positions as well, which is interesting. 82 snaps at slot corner this past season, nearly 200 the year before. Played a little bit of corner, 6 snaps over the past 2 years. A lot in the box, over 500 snaps the past 2 years. And nearly 350 snaps as a free safety too. So clearly a guy that has lined up all over the field. And I think that's obviously a good thing for him when he's trying to make the roster, is just to bring that versatility and be able to play on a lot of different positions on the back end. The last intriguing name here, and maybe the most likely to make the roster, is one of the offensive linemen that the Rams added, which is not many, as you guys know, none drafted, is Alaric Jackson of Iowa. And shout out for a fellow Canadian. I gotta list that. I like that. When you look at his draft profile in the draft guide, it's pretty decent. I mean, he had a 74.4 grade this past season, 71.4 the year before, 77.6 in 2018. So clearly a pretty consistent football player. Allowed 2 sacks in every season over the past 3 years. So again, very consistent, has a lot of snaps, a lot of experience. I think that's a very big positive for him. And when you look at some of the other things that my colleague, lead draft analyst Mike Renner listed here, biggest strength, experience, biggest weakness, hand placement, draft projection, 5th round. And he said, if Jackson is still this inconsistent after 5 years of Iowa coaching, I'm not sure you can expect much to change in the NFL. Now, he played all of his snaps at left tackle pretty much over the past 3 years. Over 1,500 snaps at left tackle, but it seems like he's going to have to kick inside to guard at the next level. And that could help him as a transitional athlete, a guy trying to make his way in the NFL, could help him make the roster to have that positional versatility. And not only that, but maybe he's just a better guard than he is a tackle. I'm not 100% sure, but that is obviously something to note because the Rams did not draft any offensive linemen. They do have a center need. We know that. And that does give Alaric Jackson the possibility of actually making this roster as a guy that the Rams didn't even draft. And talking about guys that the Rams did draft, we're going to dive into the scouting profiles of Bobby Brown III and Robert Rochelle in the next 2 segments. I'm going to deep dive into their tape and share everything that I picked up from watching a bunch of their games last season. And while we've got you, make sure to come connect with us on Twitter for all the coverage you need on the Los Angeles Rams. You can find me at QB's MEP, and you can find the page at Locked On Rams. Hey, Rams fans, listen up. Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC, is offering a complimentary bottle to all football fans in America. To get your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, text DRAFT to 231-231. This unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone and total testosterone levels and increase energy and lean muscle mass. Plus, if you text now, they'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, their most powerful fat incinerator ever, with key ingredients to help you get back in shape absolutely free. Text DRAFT to 231-231. That's DRAFT to 231-231. Message and data rates may apply. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all of the action at BetOnline. This week has tons of sports action on the go as the NFL draft just passed and the Kentucky Derby is back as the first leg of the Triple Crown begins this weekend. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all of the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore as this is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for their runs to the playoffs. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. That's betonline.ag. Welcome back to the second segment of this Monday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. And I mentioned before the break what we're going to spend this and the next segment talking about. And I want to break it down one player in each segment. And we're going to go in order because that's what we started doing yesterday with Tutu Atwell and Ernest Jones, the first 2 picks that the Rams had in the 2021 NFL draft. And the next 2, these are the ones that we're going to cover here. Bobby Brown III, defensive tackle from Texas A&M. He was drafted 117th overall. That is a 4th round pick by the Rams. And it's an interesting pick because the Rams didn't necessarily have a big need for a defensive tackle. Now, they did trade away, obviously, Michael Brockers for a pretty much non-existent pick. It's like a seventh round pick in 2023 or something. Essentially gave him away for free. They literally just salary dumped him. And that made sense because they were obviously cash strapped. And, you know, they didn't really need Brockers with the redundant skill set with guys like A'shaun Robinson on the roster, Greg Gaines, and probably the best of them all, Sebastian Joseph Day. And that's why it's kind of interesting here to see them address defensive tackle this early. You want to consider this as a Brockers replacement is my guess. And that's exactly what I thought of Brown before I started watching. And that is exactly what I came away with as well. And I think it's a good fit because the Rams liked to run a lot of tight fronts up on the defensive line last season with Brandon Staley. And that kind of helped them with gap control and helped mask some of the inconsistencies and lack of talent and ability that they had on the second level from their linebackers. And that is what allowed them to be one of the top two, top three run defenses in football, because they weren't one of the best because of the talent up front. They were one of the best because of their intelligently designed scheme and the way they attacked gaps and how they played things. So that, I think, is an indication of Brown's drafting here, is that the Rams are going to continue to do that kind of stuff up front. They obviously utilized a lot of those defensive tackles in different roles, and I think that projects well for Brown going into the Rams, going into this defensive line. You look at some of the names, obviously, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, they look like a very, very stout run-stuffing unit, and that is exactly what Brown does best. Now, I'm going to read some of the notes that I took here from his games that I watched this past season. He's stout at the point of attack on most reps. You can clearly see the real power that he has. Uses his ox-like strength to keep offensive line off of him. He's capable of stacking and shedding when the technique is right. He has reps where he fires off the ball with explosion. Gap integrity looks a little bit sketchy. Not sure if that was a personal issue or if the defensive scheme told him to vacate gaps and shoot others. He's got incredible power and torque when he can engage offensive linemen and completely disregards them by tossing them aside. Active hands as a pass rusher, but he's basically not going to offer anything as a pass rusher from day one. Really no pass rushing moves whatsoever, and a subpar bull rush for a guy who's as strong as he is. Now, he does flash a dominant bull rush at times, but it's not consistent at all from down to down. He's got legitimate versatility up front. I believe he can line up anywhere from five technique to five technique, and he can either two gap or he can try to play that one gap penetrating style, but I think the former makes a lot more sense for his skill set. And he's very rarely blown off the ball in one-on-ones. He's clearly a legitimate threat at the line of scrimmage to stand up offensive linemen. And as you can imagine, that is a lot of the stuff that Michael Brockers did for the Rams last year. And it is a kind of redundant skill set to Gaines, to Sebastian Joseph Day, and to A'shaun Robinson. But when you look at what the Rams are trying to accomplish up front, what they did last season with those tight fronts, they played a lot of three, even four defensive tackles at the same time in those tight fronts. And then they would have Leonard Floyd as the fifth man on the line of scrimmage, playing Sam linebacker, where he's going to take a tight end on one-on-one play side. And that is what made the Rams so good as a run defense, because each of the guys that they had up front was capable of two-gapping. Sebastian Joseph Day developed into arguably the best run stuffer in football last season, and he is just immovable on that line of scrimmage. He's so, so powerful, so good at the point of attack, so good at using his hands, all that stuff. And then next to him, you have, you know, an A'shaun Robinson, and beside him, you have a Michael Brockers. And then opposite of Brockers, you have Aaron Donald, who's arguably the greatest penetrator in the history of football. And next to him, you have another guy in Leonard Floyd, who's so good at the point of attack. He's got those long arms. He knows how to use them. He's strong as hell. And that is why the Rams are so good against the run. And that's why I think this pick makes a lot of sense. He's only a fourth rounder. You can't really expect your guys that you draft in the fourth round to, one, come in and immediately impact your team, and two, to be relied on as starters moving forward. But they have such a clearly defined way of attacking their day three picks, and that is to find guys that are very good in specific roles and find guys that can fill those roles very effectively. And they've done that so well over the past few seasons. You talk about Sebastian Joseph Day, arguably the best run stuffer in football. He was a sixth round pick coming out of Rutgers like 2 or 3 years ago, and this is what he's developed into. And you look at, obviously, now Bobby Brown, some guys like Jordan Fuller, who they drafted in the sixth round. They've done such a good job at finding guys on day three that can fill specific roles for them, do exactly one thing that they want, and then find another guy to do the other thing that that guy can't. And then when you kind of combine both of those guys, you get sort of like a full skill set. And so I think they've done a very good job of identifying the guys that they like to fill specific roles. And arguably, Bobby Brown, one of the better run defenders in this draft, in my opinion. He flashes a lot of ability. I think he's got a legitimate role from day one. Probably not going to play a ton because, like I mentioned, they have a lot of very good run-stuffing defensive tackles. But I think he has a legitimate role from day one. I think he's got a clear path to how he's going to play, where he's going to play, what he's going to offer this defense. And I really like this addition on day three as the first fourth round pick. He's clearly a guy that has a lot of talent. I think he's going to be very disruptive in the running game for the Rams when he eventually does play. And that is going to be one of the reasons why this pick, I think, is going to turn out to be a good one. That is the scouting report on Bobby Brown. And when we come back from this short break, I'm going to dive into Robert Rochelle, the cornerback that the Rams selected right after Brown in the fourth round. And while we've got you, make sure to keep checking back in with us here every day at the Locked On Rams podcast for all your updated Los Angeles Rams info, as well as in-depth scouting reports on every player that they drafted in the 2021 NFL Draft. The fitness industry is incredibly confusing and oversaturated with BS. I'd like to think that my word holds a lot of weight as I've lost 155 pounds over the last 2.5 years. With that being the case, I've been looking for the best protein bar throughout that time period, and I finally found the Built Bar, and I'm telling you guys that the Built Bar is by far the best protein bar on this market. When you're looking at very delicious flavors, a wide variety of flavors, they have over 18 different ones, and the best texture of any protein bar that you can find, that is exactly what Built Bar presents. Not only that, but they're also healthy. They're low in calories, they're low in sugar, they have 19 grams of protein per bar, they're high in fiber, and they even work for you if you are on a keto diet. You'll even get a free cooler with your purchase while the supplies last. All you have to do is just go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCK15 and you'll get 15% off your next order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Welcome back to the third segment and the final segment of this Monday episode of the Locked On Rams podcast. I'm your host, Sosa Cremenges, and you guys know exactly what we're going to dive into in this segment. I mentioned it before the break, and we're going to take a look at Robert Rochelle, the cornerback that the Rams drafted with the 130th overall pick in the fourth round, the corner from Central Arkansas, not exactly an Alabama-like powerhouse, but this guy is a very intriguing player. He is an absolute freak athlete. I mean, we're talking like absurd numbers. You look at the three cone, 72nd percentile for corners, 40-yard dash, 85th percentile, short shuttle, 80th percentile, vertical jump, 99th percentile, and the broad jump, 98th percentile. Like, this dude oozes all kinds of explosion, has very good size. He's over 6 feet tall, 190, 95 pounds, something like that. Long, athletic, freak athlete, clearly. Long arms, 84th percentile, 32.5-inch arms. This guy's everything you really would build if you had a lump of clay that you wanted to mold into a cornerback. They would probably look a lot like Robert Rochelle. Now, I got a chance to watch 3 games from him this past season, one of which was actually against North Dakota State, and that's kind of notable because the quarterback from North Dakota State that was just drafted, third overall, Trey Lance, is now a San Francisco 49ers, so they're going to have another fun battle in the NFC West now. But talking about Rochelle, I'm very impressed with him. This is the exact type of pick you want to spend on day three. You want to get guys that give you something that you can mold ultimately into something a lot better. His technique is a little bit off. He's going to need to work that stuff, obviously. Otherwise, he would be, you know, a day one, day two pick if he had everything set and in order. But when you look at the frame, you look at his ability to play the ball. He had a bunch of turnovers throughout his college career, a former wide receiver, and it shows because this guy knows how to be a ball hawk and he knows how to play the ball. He's not going to be timid when that thing is in the air. So diving into some of his notes here that I wrote, long, big, athletic frame, great athlete who tested very well with his numbers, played a lot on the boundary. I didn't really see many snaps in the nickel spot. Does a good job of being patient at the line of scrimmage. Because of that, he gets into good positioning and leverage off the snap, and he doesn't need to recover right away. His patience allows him to play a receiver in their hip pocket and no need to recover right off of the snap, right off of the release. I think he has okay hips and he can break relatively quickly. He's a good tackler. He's physical, not afraid to come up and toss his body around. Has the versatility to play in either press or an off technique. He does a good job of staying nice and square at the line of scrimmage and reads receivers' releases. Doesn't lose all composure when the ball is in the air. Doesn't panic and attack receivers or get flags. Does a great job of keeping his cool and playing the ball instead of the man. And I think that's where that former wide receiver skill really shows. He looks like one of those prototypical cover three corners in terms of his length and his movement. Think of those former defenses like the Seattle Seahawks when they had Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor, the Jacksonville defenses that Gus Bradley took with him from Seattle to Jacksonville, and the San Fran defenses of last year and the last couple years that Robert Saleh had there, again with Richard Sherman. Would like to see some more of his transitions and his ability in phase. I question if he can play in the nickel spot. Is he nimble and agile enough to break down and move quickly and change his directions that quickly? I think he allows receivers a little bit too easily to stack him, and he does need to do a better job of squeezing them closer to the sideline and fighting for positioning and using his makeup speed. The Senior Bowl was very, very ugly for him. He showed that he can get a little bit too upright in his back pedal, clearly showed some stiffness, a little bit of lack of fluidity and ability to flip his hips cleanly, and was very easy to stack from the receivers there. And there are clearly some technique issues that need to be sorted out, but he's a moldable piece of clay that's crazy athletic. And I think when you encapsulate all of that, it all makes sense, right? You look at the one-on-ones at the Senior Bowl, it's perfectly clear why a guy like this would struggle there. Like I mentioned, I don't know if he's nimble and agile enough to play in the nickel spot where you don't need to be big. You should actually probably want to have a smaller corner there that's very bouncy and very quick to change his direction, as opposed to on the boundary where guys are a little bit more physical. They can use their length and physicality. And that's really just described by the guys that you're going to cover, because in the slot, you're probably not going to be going against Julio Jones. You're going to have to be able to cover a Cole Beasley who's insanely quick in and out of his breaks, whereas on the boundary, you might have to face a Michael Thomas, and Michael Thomas is not going to break in and out of his routes like a Cole Beasley is. You need to be much more physical with a guy like that, and that's why I think Rochelle's skill set probably projects way better as a boundary corner, and like I mentioned, in a classic cover three type of scheme. And that's another thing to note, because Raheem Morris coming over from Atlanta, he ran cover three the majority of the time there. I don't know if that's just a Raheem Morris staple now or if he did that based on his personnel, but I'm quite certain that he had a lot to do with this pick. I think he very much wanted this type of player and he clearly got him. So I love the pick, you know, definitely needs to work on a lot. Like I mentioned, you want to clean up that technique. I'm guessing he's going to have to play on the boundary. And once he cleans up that technique, I think he's going to get a lot less susceptible. He's going to know how to actually stay in phase better. He's going to know how to be more physical at the line of scrimmage and use his hands better to reroute wide receivers. I think he's going to do a lot better job of not allowing wide receivers to stack him so easily like he did at the Senior Bowl, like you've seen sometimes on those reps in college, because he has the speed, he has the physicality, and he has the frame, the length to not allow guys to actually stack him that easily. You look at Richard Sherman, his protesting numbers are not going to blow anyone out of the water. He doesn't run a 4-3. He doesn't do any of that stuff. But what he does have is his length and his physicality and his IQ, and he knows how to use them to his advantage to help not allow receivers to get over the top of him. And so I think Rochelle can work on something similar like that. He's never really going to be all that bouncy and, in my opinion, a nickel, because you just don't want a guy like that to be broken down in the slot. I think he's a lot better on the boundary where you can just press guys. You want him in press coverage where he can get his hands on dudes, be physical, get him in off coverage where he can use his quick breaks on the ball and his IQ to actually go make plays on the ball. And like I said, it's very good that he doesn't get grabby and get overly physical, because this is a guy that wants to play the ball, not the man. And that's the kind of guy that I can see getting a lot of big turnover worthy interception type plays at the next level. And so I love this pick. When you put it together, all things considered, he's a fourth round pick, a very high value position, arguably the most important position on the football field right now, outside of the actual quarterback. The Rams get a big body, a very, very crazy good athlete, very interesting, moldable piece of clay, a guy that I think can legitimately be a starter in the NFL at some point. A lot of people were very high on this guy, and I love this pick, man. You cannot go wrong with taking amazing athletes on day three of the draft. That is going to be a winning formula, in my opinion, every single time. You want to be able to try and use your technique to make these guys better players. I think the Rams have shown that they can very much do that. You look at Jalen Ramsey, who's now, once again, the best corner in football. Darius Williams, who was undrafted and is one of the best corners in football. Some of the other names, Troy Hill, who was a former late, I think, sixth, maybe seventh round pick, maybe undrafted as well. Bounced around in the league, came to the Rams, turned into one of the better starting nickel corners in football, and got paid by the Cleveland Browns this offseason. The Rams have done a very good job at developing their cornerback talent, and this is just another guy next in that line that could arguably be a starting corner for the Rams someday. If not right out of the gate, it's really going to depend on what the Rams want to do at that nickel spot. Maybe they want to give it to a guy that's a lot more experienced in the NFL, like a David Long, a Dante Dion, and leave Jalen Ramsey and Darius Williams on the outside. I think that's the most likely scenario, but it's going to be very interesting to see, nevertheless, how the Rams want to play this position. That is all we got for the breakdown of Bobby Brown and Robert Rochelle, and make sure to check back tomorrow because we're going to continue this series. I'm going to take a look at the remaining names, the next two names on the list for the Rams, and break down their games as well. And we're going to continue to update you guys on everything with this draft class and the undrafted free agents that the Rams did sign so far and that they continue to sign throughout this process. Just a reminder, you can come connect with us on Twitter. Find me at QBsMVP and the page at Locked On Rams. Please subscribe or follow to get our latest episodes, content, breaking news, and a whole lot more.